corporate candy floss news and no political spin. This is Truth Radio by Internet. Thanks to our sponsor, neemwell.com, because here, the expression is still free. From Seattle to Washington and from London to Moscow, we're seeing the emergence of a new empire to rival the old Soviet Union. Join me and guest David Noakes as we discuss the super state versus the people. You're on the next level.
Would you do me a favor and push me on to the next level?
You are on the next level, and this is Fintan Dunn reporting. Thank you for joining us. Thanks also to our sponsor, neemwell.com, your personal source for potent Indian neem. Kathy McMahon formulates genuine, wild-crafted, organic Indian neem in a hypoallergenic base. There's no petrochemicals, just pure, natural ingredients. You can get more on that at neemwell.com. That's N-E-E-M-W-E-L-L.com. And find out about the Indian herb with nothing added, but perhaps a little magic touch from Kathy. Now, we're discussing a very serious topic tonight with my guest, David Noakes. He ran in the UK elections for the UKIP, UKIP. That's the United Kingdom Independence Party. And indeed, David was a challenger for the leadership of the UKIP recently. He is a determined advocate for resisting the growing power of the EU superstate and for taking Britain and other nations out of what may be the core of a new empire. A new empire to rival the Soviet Union in abuse of human rights and in central control of the economy and people. He has detailed his case that that's what's happening on his website eutruth.org.uk. That's eutruth.org.uk. What you find there will surprise you, may shock you, and will certainly horrify you as it horrified me. The plans, folks, are well advanced, and I'm sure that's no surprise to regular listeners to the show. But David has compiled a damning case for the slow and stealthy takeover of democracy by a new command-style, Soviet-style empire. We'll be finding out in full detail as David joins us from the United Kingdom. You know, it wasn't too long ago that the French and Dutch voters rejected the new European constitution. And that hasn't stopped the bureaucrats and those behind the scenes who are attempting to create this super state. Bear in mind, we're speaking about the EU, but these issues also will be very soon affecting the United States with the creation of a similar transnational union in the north of America. Anyhow, as I say, plans continue despite the voters' rejection of the constitution. And recently, the Spanish and German governments signed up to a new Berlin Declaration, a plan to complete the integration of Europe into the new superstate by 2009. Let's get the full details from David Noakes. You're very, very welcome to the next level, David. Thank you for joining us. They're fairly determined on this, David, and just because the voters have said no, it doesn't look like that's going to stop them.
That was never going to be a treaty. It was only going to compel nations to sign a treaty. Now, the treaty that they want signed is, of course, the sixth and final treaty, and that's still on for May 2009.
Right. So they'll effectively bring the constitution in by the back door by means of a new treaty.
You see, they know they can sign treaties. They have already got the Queen and Prime Minister of Britain to sign five treaties behind our backs, completely unconstitutionally. The signature of those treaties is criminal. It's against the British Constitution to sign treaties abolishing the British nation. And it is also, of course, treason. And all the signatories to these treaties in Britain have committed treason, pure and simple. So they're now doing the logical thing. They're not going for a constitution directly voted for by the people. What they are doing is going for a sixth and final treaty signed again by the Queen and Prime Ministers behind our backs, and then the treaty will adopt the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
But it's the people voting for the Constitution and adopting it themselves.
Okay, well, I wish them luck. I'm glad that the some of the people in Europe are awake to the dangers. And you've outlined some of the agenda, some of the rolling, creeping agenda that's going on, David. For example, you point out that the plan to break Britain up into new regions is already in practice and underway.
Right. Our 48 counties are going to be abolished under the European Regionalisation Plan, which was first put in place by the Conservatives in 1966. Mm-hmm. Not many people realise that the Conservative Party, the leadership of the Conservative Party, not the voters, initiated the European Union, and they are the number one driving force behind it. But the Conservatives first initiated the European Regionalisation Plan in 1966, and there are now hundreds of thousands of government officials and bureaucrats in the European regionalisation structure. That's 9 regions instead of 48 counties.
And also, you're pointing out that the elected representatives, the local councillors, will also have their role changed, and they'll be now...
Our 19,500 councillors will be completely abolished. The European Union works firstly through the Office of the Deputy Prime Minister in the local handover of power, and they have an organisation called Common Purpose, run by Julian Middleton, set up by the Conservative Party in 1970, and they train local leaders for what they chillingly call the post-democratic era, and they've trained about 25,000 of these so far. They are on the gravy train locally, creaming millions out of the local economy, usually by rather devious land deals involving the council or council property. They are busy transferring the power from councillors to the council executive. Common Purpose is right through council executives, the regional development authorities, the regional assemblies, the government office of the South West, the BBC, the NHS, and they are depriving councillors of their power deliberately so that when they are abolished, they no longer have the wherewithal to prevent their own abolition. And that is why all councillors now need to have a vote of their local electorate to say, do you want your council and councillors and county abolished by the European Union or not?
Yeah. Well, there's on the legislative front as well, there's also this creeping superstate coming in. For example, the European arrest warrant, which seems to deprive people of some of their basic civil liberties, David.
The European Union operates firstly through treaties. Now we have the Constitution, which has exposed its true nature. The Constitution is very similar to that of the Soviet Union. It's already passed 300 major laws in England, of which the Extradition Act and the European Arrest Warrant was just one. You can now be snatched out of your home. Mm-hmm. That's just one of 300 European laws that are now on the British statute book. Now, the Lib Dems know we now live in what is legally a very brutal, but as yet unenforced, police state. And these laws are quite hideous just on their own. The independent newspaper is equally worried, but neither will admit that it is complying with the 5 EU treaties which has forced these 300 laws upon us, and neither will admit that they are entirely European laws. It doesn't stop there. British common law has now been replaced by corpus juris. We've lost habeas corpus. It only exists in theory. And since that 1992, corpus juris has had the ascendancy. And then finally, there's 111,000 European regulations. No nation on earth has ever had to exist on 111,000 regulations. We'll be completely subservient to them. They control our personal lives and our businesses. Small business cannot afford to comply with 111,000 regulations, and hundreds of thousands of businesses will go bust and millions will go out of work as a result. And we will end up with a Soviet-style economy with poverty. Because 111,000 regulations do create a command economy. The government makes every decision. And command economies around the world, usually communist ones, have failed. And our economy will fail. And we can be arrested for breaking any one of these 111,000 regulations.
Okay, you're making a very good and very interesting point there, David, about the unenforced nature of what's been done. It reminds me of what's happened in the USA, where the Patriot Act has been pushed through. And they're not mass arresting people. They're not rounding up activists right now. But that doesn't change the fact that they have put that kind of legislation in place. That's what you're saying is happening with the EU right now. It's all been put in place.
Yes, that's exactly right. They have the constitution, the laws, the corpus juris, and the 111,000 regulations all in place, all unenforced, but completely legally in place. And when the European Union takes over in 2009, then they will dare enforce them. They dare not enforce them before that because we would then realise what the European Union is, a vicious police state. And we would not sign the final treaty. There'd be an outcry, and Tony Blair and the Queen would not be able to sign it. Probably Gordon Brown and the Queen. But if they leave it till afterwards, if they don't enforce it till after the Queen has signed these treaties, then we have no escape, because Parliament will be stripped of all its power. We will have no legal way of challenging the European Union. And if we do, we can be arrested.
Right. Well, the implications of that for Britain and the United Kingdom as a separate sovereign entity, they extend even to the question of whether it has foreign embassies. And you're saying that it's likely that Britain's embassies around the world will be closed down, maybe even implications for the national anthem.
It was agreed in 2004 by the heads of state of Europe that Britain's 156 embassies around the world would be closed. And our government, Tony Blair, who actually agreed to it, and our ministers, kept that secret from us, as they had kept so many other things from us, things that we won't know till after the final treaty is signed. The Spanish Prime Minister told his nation in a March 2005 radio broadcast what Tony Blair had agreed to. So in this instance, we do know what's happening.
Right. And are you saying also, David, that the EU would actually take over the command of the police and the army of the United Kingdom and also its nuclear weapons and its oil in the North Sea? Is that all contained in the package they're putting together?
The EU constitution reveals the military nature of the European Union. We are told to build up our militaries and then hand them over to the European Union. And that, of course, includes our nuclear weapons. The European Union will end up with 700 British and French nuclear weapons, which it alone will control. A lot of people in the army already know they will have to swear an oath to the European Union, which, of course, was very unpopular, and they said so. So they have already been told that if they refuse to swear the oath, they will be fired. They'll be unemployed. There are plans to put Italian and German officers on the decks of British ships, and all of the armed services and the police are expected to make this oath to the European Union. If they don't, of course, and if the European Union fails to get control of our military, the European project will collapse because it won't work without seizing military control. And for that reason, they are deliberately undermining and weakening our military forces, and common purpose is going right through the British police force, and the most powerful member that we know of who's in common purpose in the police force is Cressida Dick, the woman who authorised the shoot-to-kill policy. She's a senior police officer, and after shooting John de Menezes, she got promoted when most people would have been demoted. But she may well be being groomed to be the chief of police in this EU police state of ours.
Very good point, and well observed. You know, that scenario you're painting, it figures into something that's going down in the news right now, that a member of the Duma in Russia has suggested that Vladimir Putin should stay on after 2008. And so with the developments taking place in the North American arena as well, with Canada, Mexico and US, it's possible we could have what you've called a Soviet-style system running all the way from Seattle in Washington, through Washington, D.C., through London, Paris, Bonn, and straight across through Russia to Vladivostok, a new Soviet empire.
The plan is for the European Union to join up with the Soviet Union. That has been the plan since 1940, when Goebbels, the German minister, first proposed the European Economic Community. It's always been the plan that the Soviet Union and the European Union would join together.
You know, that figures into some analysis that we've done also. If that's the case, David, then the fall of the Berlin Wall was just a staged event. It was a deliberate move towards this union.
Yes, and you will see that Putin never gets out of power. He is KGB. He is the old-style communist authority. Russia is going back into the old communist Soviet control model.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing we have to work out is who will end up ruling both of them. Will it be Putin or some dictator arriving out of Europe?
Okay, well, that sounds like they're marketing this thing in Russia in a way that's going to work with the Russian people. I think, you know, dictatorship, hey, Putin is popular, that this thing works with them. In Europe, they'll market it as a sort of a new era, golden dawn sort of stuff. And in the United States, God only knows what they'll do, possibly pull the plug on the dollar and just force everybody into it. But it's a different face, but the same thing.
I lived in America for 8 years, and I have to say, President Clinton was brilliant with the economy. He took a budget deficit of $400 billion a year left by the warmongering George Bush Sr. and turned it into a budget surplus of $200 billion a year. America hadn't seen a surplus in 35 years. No one ever thought the American economy would ever see a budget surplus, mm-hmm. but Clinton did it. The new George Bush Jr. turned that $200 billion surplus into a $400 billion deficit in his first year with his warmongering and his dodgy economics. He's destroyed the dollar to a point now where the only thing holding it up is the fact that it's the world's only petrol currency.
Well, Clinton, he may well have been following an expansionist monetary policy as part of the overall agenda to later come back and tank the dollar. You know, do you think that Clinton is capable of resisting the Bushes or playing along with the agenda or right in on it from the word go?
All his life, Clinton has been scared of the Bushes. He's watched people who oppose the Bushes, like the Kennedys, get murdered. And he's been very careful to comply with everything the Bushes have asked of him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's particularly on their side. He just wants to live.
Right.
You are right. He has put America into a huge boom, just as they have deliberately done here with property prices by lowering interest rates. Mm-hmm. And then under the 1997 Amsterdam Treaty, when the European Union got control of our borders, they flooded 5 million immigrants into this country, forcing up the property prices. So now if they engineer a crash in the dollar, and they can't fail to engineer one either by bombing Iran or not bombing it, it's still going to create a crash in the dollar, then the banking crisis that will ensue around the world will force a collapse in property prices. And millions of people in England will be have hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of negative equity.
Mm-hmm.
And they will then be able to confiscate their property by using their mortgages, which is a Soviet and communist plan and very much at the heart of what the European Union intends.
Okay, well, you know, looking first for the hand behind the scenes that directing events, the things you're talking about there require an agenda that plays out over decades. And it seems also to be a corporate agenda, which we know is essentially a fascist agenda, corporatism and fascism being indistinguishable. This is a corporate bureaucratic takeover, it seems.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's firstly a communist takeover. And the amazing thing about communism is it has always loved big corporations. And the two work hand in glove. The government gives a corporation a huge contract with millions or even billions of pounds involved, and then kickbacks come back from the big corporation to all the bureaucrats in the government involved. That mm-hmm. is how the gravy train works at the top level with government ministers in Britain and right down at the bottom level with councils, which common purpose is organising that corruption in councils all the time. The European gravy train is probably worth $100 billion in Britain at this time. It's right through the nation, 25,000 common purpose people organising it. It's huge.
That sounds like the inner party of George Orwell. What you're pointing out there, this common purpose organisation and these tentacles of EU control, sound like the inner party of George Orwell's 1984, sounds like the members of the Communist Party in the old Russia. It's essentially a repeat of the same dynamic of getting a loyal group who administer power.
Yes. History repeats itself. That's why we learn it. So you learn the past so you can predict the future, so you don't make the same mistakes again. But our politicians are learning from the past in an attempt to make it work this time, because they failed in 1917 and they failed in 1939. But we can also look back and see what's going to happen next. And if you compare the European Constitution at 465 pages with Hitler's Enabling Act at half a page, you can see how much enormously more powerful the European Union will be than Hitler's Germany ever was.
Well, it's a solemn note to pause on, and maybe we will just take a little bit of music here, an appropriate piece of music. This is Sweet Suburban Sky. You're on The Next Level on breakfornews.com. I'll be right back with my special guest, David Noakes.
Sweet suburban sky, I'm gonna miss you if you burn out. We'll curse you when it's our turn. So come now, wash your face. Well, the water full of grace, yeah, 'cause only time will tell when you'll be willing to sell your body for one precious taste, and all's left to waste. My sweet suburban sky, will doctor feels the pain? Will that cause a sick name rain? Yeah, but you continue to compromise. Well, there won't be no alibis. There's no water to wash the burning sun from your eyes. A sweet suburban sky. So when you finally taste all of the waste and the sign of the time, you won't even call it a crime. Well, they're coming round again. Maybe you'll be gone by then. But they won't thank our generation. Well, for the ignorant incarnation is when there's nowhere left to hide. Maybe then they'll call it genocide. My sweet suburban sky, I'm gonna miss you if you burn, though I'ma curse you when it's our turn. So come now, wash your face. Water full of grace, yeah, 'cause only time will tell when you'll be willing to sell. When your body for one precious taste, and all's left to waste. A sweet suburban sky.
Despite the fact that these things are rolling out and this is clearly a long-term agenda, it is encouraging that the people of France and the Dutch also rejected the European Constitution. You're focused on grassroots information, getting that information to the people, what kind of tactics do you think are likely to work in terms of stopping this agenda?
On my website, EU Truth, I have a link called Your Campaigns, in which I tell you how to fight the European Union. If you can get 50 people together into a room, I'll come around and teach you in an Action Now lecture. It's a hands-on training session on how to fight the European Union. European Union control structures in Britain extend heavily throughout the press and television. There are 400 common-purpose people controlling the output of the BBC, censoring it to make sure it never has anti-EU reporting.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no documentaries on the European Constitution, no documentaries on what the EU is all about. It's completely deliberate. So we desperately need radio, TV, and newspapers to get this stuff out. But we can't get it out because they're EU-controlled. So we're actually starting our own newspapers. We've already started two, the Westminster News, and we just started our first regional paper, the Plymouth and Devonport Column. And we're happy to come round and start a newspaper for you. It is expensive. It will cost about £10,000 to get it off the ground. But from then on, you effectively get paid to fight the European Union because your newspaper will make money. And, of course, there's also an asset there that you can sell to retire on. So that's a very worthwhile thing to do. And we write the hardest-hitting editorials which you can use. And it's working very well. But people are waking up. People are beginning to realize that the European Union has the constitution of a dictatorship and the laws of a police state.
Well, do you think the same dynamics could apply in the United States? And what's your feeling about how the people of the U.S. will resist this move? You've lived in the U.S. How do you gauge the battle in the U.S.?
It's very much down the Democratic-Republican split. The Republicans are in favor of the Patriot Acts, the all-powerful state going to war to create yet more terrorism. They're in favor of that. It's the Democrats who are opposed. It is, in fact, the Democrats who are Democratic, not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are very serious attempts to pervert their leadership, to get them on the side of the Soviet system.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some significant successes there. The very fact that Clinton is quite scared of the Bushes is a success. I'm not at all sure that Hillary Clinton is independent either. I think she's probably more Soviet, has more Soviet intentions than her husband ever did.
Yes.
And John Kerry is a follower of the New World Order. So there are bad people at the top there. But your average Democrat on the street is more aware than your average Englishman on the street, and they are standing up for democracy and freedom.
Yeah, well, Hillary Clinton has echoed the words of Mao Zedong in Women Hold Up Half the Sky. Of course, women do are half the world, but that's not what it's about. It's about mobilization of people around political sloganeering in order to shepherd them into supporting something that if they knew what it was they were really supporting, they wouldn't support it.
That's absolutely right. The European Union has implemented the plans of the German Frankfurt School, which the Soviet Union bought in 1935. And they asked it to give them plans for subversion for other nations. Because the problem the Soviets had is that after the workers of the world to unite, you know, have nothing to lose but your chains, but the workers weren't uniting. So they turned instead to subversion. And the Frankfurt School gave them a whole list of things, teaching homosexuality to children, political correctness, control of media and TV, massive immigration, all the things that we see have been successfully done to Britain already to mm-hmm. create the ghastly headlines we see in our newspapers every day. The implementation of the Frankfurt School subversion system in the United Kingdom has been completely successful. And the European Union organised the whole thing.
Okay, and rolling it out under this common purpose meme, so to speak, and organisational structure.
Yes, common purpose is one of the European control organisations that implements the Frankfurt School subversion plans, but they are only one of many. The Conservative Party, the Freemasons, senior Labour people who were once communists themselves, people like Jack Straw, Tony Blair, Mandelson, are all so-called reformed communists. No, they're not reformed communists. People like Prescott still are communists, and they are still working for the communist agenda. They now realise, and they have since the 1970s, their loyalty is no longer to the Soviet Union, their direct loyalty is to the European Union, which is the closest communist state to them.
Well, I suppose a communist is as communist does, David, so it's hard to argue with you on that point. But it is reassuring that there has been resistance in Europe to this, and that ordinary workers and ordinary people are beginning to catch on. Do you think it's a battle that's going to come to a head soon? And what's your expectations for the next couple of years?
It just depends how many people understand the very simple message that the EU has the constitution of a dictatorship and the laws of a police state. If we can get that one line out to 10 million people, that will stop it. If we can persuade the armed forces and the police not to take up that oath to the European Union, which is already unpopular, to say nothing of completely treasonous, if we can just explain to them the real nature of the European Union, they will be even less willing to swear that oath. So there are a number of different ways to stop it. Another way is to go and, we need 10,000 people, that's all, to go and visit our 646 MPs and explain to them that in the European Union, Westminster will be abolished and they will lose their quarter of a million salary and expenses. I don't know if you know, but British MPs just got parity with European MEPs at the bottom end of their pay scale.
Right.
They can be persuaded if they're not, if they haven't already been guaranteed a place somewhere else on the European gravy train, we can get the truth across to our MPs in that way. Everyone needs to go to their MP surgery locally, phone up your local party and ask where it is, and go and speak to him and tell him he's going to lose his job under the European dictatorship. There won't be a Westminster. Go see your local councillors. Persuade them to have a vote of the local electorate. Do you want us, your councillors, to be abolished and your county by the European Union, and do you want the European region reporting directly to Brussels in a European state, yes or no? And if they don't know, then that means the councillors keep their job. But again, the councillors should be interested in that. Go and visit your journalists. Call up your local paper, get a list of journalists, and go and see them one by one and explain to them that under case 274/99 of the European Court of Justice, the ruling was that it is illegal to criticise the European Union. Show them the one-page summary of the European Union Constitution on the EU Truth website, and they will realise there will be no freedom of press in the EU. Now, these newspaper journalists like their freedom of press. When they realise they're going to lose it, they may start attacking the European Union themselves. So there's lots of ways we can fight, and we should be fighting. We need to go and lecture our university students on the emerging police state and explain what it is and where it's coming from and why. There are all sorts of things that can be done. UKIP hasn't done any of them, but we need to be doing them. And you are better off now fighting as independents, because if you form a party like UKIP, you find the European Union gets control of it through one of its control structures. That's what happened to UKIP. It is now controlled by the European Union.
You are a candidate for the leadership of the UK Independent Party. And yes. It does notionally, David, have policies that say that they're interested in getting out of the European Union. Are those only skin deep then at this stage of the party's development?
Completely. The leadership has betrayed the membership. The top 10 people in the party are all MEPs on between 250,000 a year. All the staff in the party are paid by the European Union, sort of 40, 60,000 a year upwards, and there's no way they are going to leave the European Union. But UKIP has only ever fought elections, which puts these people in power and puts them on huge salary. It has never fought the European Union. We have 12 campaigns with which we can fight the European Union directly. UKIP has never used any one of them or ever fought the European Union directly. And that is why it has failed. If UKIP had really fought the EU instead of elections, it would have had Britain out of Europe in its first 5 years. But it's never been sincere. Nigel Farage was one of its four founder members. He's great at making a motivational speech, but once he sits down, that is the beginning and the end of his political career. Nothing happens after it, apart from a long session in the pub. There's no planning, there's no organisation, there's no direction of members on how to campaign or fight. Nothing. Just a long session in the pub. It's all that happens.
A salutary lesson then. I think that ties in, David, with what you were saying about getting the word at grassroots level to the people and not relying on political structures, but at this stage concentrating on getting the information to people, because I think if they get the information like they've gotten it here in our discussion, then they're likely to be shocked and horrified and they're likely to start saying no.
Yeah.
Okay, David. Well,
you agree with you. We only need to get that one sentence out. The EU has the constitution of a dictatorship and the laws of a police state. It summarises the whole EU in one sentence. When you think that the EU has produced millions of sheets of paper defining itself with accuracy, none of them short enough for a single person to read, how do you define it? Well, that is how you define it. The constitution is 455 pages long. It's actually in readable English if you've got 50 hours, but you don't need to read it. There's a one-page summary on my website, but you only need to remember that one soundbite: constitution of a dictatorship, laws of a police state.
That just about sums it up, David. I think that you've got some excellent strategies there, and your focus on grassroots information is very good. I think also what you're proposing in regard to newspapers complements the other free zone we have, which is the internet. We've got people in the United States who are determined to oppose this. We've got many people working to oppose it in Europe and in Britain. And perhaps we can help each other and use the internet to establish common cause, David.
You've got to remember there are 12 ways the EU can be stopped that we know of. Any one of them will do. And we can train you how to fight those 12 ways.
Okay, well, maybe that's something we can come back to, because the tactics that you're going to use there against the EU could also be used to prevent the emerging North American Union also. Okay, well, look, we're on the same wavelength on this, David. I don't know how you keep going. It must especially be very disillusioning to have been involved in the UK Independence Party and then to see what's happening there happen. I don't know how you keep going, dude.
I don't know. I'm just a happy chappy, you know. I'm fighting something worth fighting for. I'm happy to be fighting for the truth and what's good, you know. I'd be unhappy if I couldn't fight for what's right, if you see what I mean.
I sure do share those feelings. There's only one place to be, and that's for the kind of values that we know are important. And for the legal systems and the civil rights protections that our forefathers shed their blood for crying out loud.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I think there's a lot of hopeful signs, David, despite the sheer amount of money these people have. And the fact that they didn't manage to ram through the Constitution is a very good sign for starters. So maybe we do need to just redouble our efforts and get the word out. Thanks, David.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling and keep in touch.
Thanks again to David for that. It's a chilling wake-up call, I think, that he's giving us about the advanced state of development of the plans for the European superstate. But we better get up off our asses, folks, and we certainly better persevere in bringing the truth of this to the people. I think you can see this is the reason why we've had 9/11. This is the reason why we had 7/7 and the G8 leaders come out on the world stage to defend us against terrorism. The Muslims are to be the enemy, and that enemy will be used to shepherd the people of the United States, of Europe, and of Russia into a grand union, with other members of the G8 either staying silent or acquiescing in the creation of this superstate structure. And the thing that concerns me is that if they are prepared to kill, it must be going on for well over 1.3, 1.5 million Iraqis 600,000 in the current war, according to estimates which have now been accepted by the British government. If they're prepared to do that, then they'd certainly have no qualms about killing thousands of people in the United States in the 9/11 attacks. And it looks like they would have no qualms about stripping people of their hard-won civil liberties and stripping them of their economic rights and imposing this Soviet-style system upon them. I don't think that you need to believe in the presence of a huge conspiracy involving tens of thousands of people to create this structure. I think it is coming from a core who are ruthless, who are power hungry, and who are very cognizant of exactly what they're doing. But surrounding that core group are many others who have, I feel, probably been roped into this under some kind of talk about the need to create a global structure to ensure safety and security for all. And then beneath that again, the many tens of thousands who are simply those who implement this system and don't question it and simply take the money that it hands out. This is human nature versus the new nature. This is the old way attempting to reassert itself in the face of what is a dawning new consciousness in humanity, one which is exemplified by the internet. This is the showdown between freedom and repression, and it's happening now, and it's going to reach a peak over the next 2 years as we head towards 2009. I've also very little doubt that there will be a need to have some kind of very significant event take place in order to shepherd people into this new structure, in order to frighten them to the extent that they will be herdable into a new structure without thinking clearly about what's happening, using the media, using hysteria, in order to create the environment for the creation of this new global Soviet-style empire. Call it the New World Order, call it the New Russia, but whatever you do, don't fail to call it by what it is: naked, raw fascism and political repression and economic theft of the birthright of every man, woman and child upon this planet. Has to be resisted, folks. That's what we're about. And I hope it's what you're about too. That's it for this edition. I hope David Noakes will be able to join us again in the future, and we will of course keep you up to date here on The Next Level. I'll be back very shortly with more, and I do hope that you can take the time to join me then. But in the meantime, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting. Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from harm. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from harm. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Walking into the sun, walking into the sun.